Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you. So, finally we get a week, Cindy, that everybody's been waiting for, where it's just a show that you just you and I are going to be on the show today.
That's fun. Although we love our guests. Callers. We have great guests, yeah.
We have great guests. But sounds like, you know, people get some Bruce and Cindy time this week. And that's what we're going to deliver to our listeners. So anyway, you know, one of the topics that Cindy and I we discussed this in our pre-show meeting here, is we want to revisit the marketing and the business aspects of coaching. You know, Cindy, a lot of people are good at being helpers, and they're good at coaching and good with people, but they may not be necessarily good business people or good at marketing themselves, at least at first. And there's a bridge that really needs to be crossed. I mean, I know when I was at coaching school as a pupil, I was keenly aware of that some of these folks, at least one or two people in my crowd, kind of had that feel that if you build it, they will come. And man, that's just not necessarily the case.
Yeah, sometimes you hear that, you know, if I just open the office, then people will come. And, you know, there's a lot more to business and marketing than people really realize. And if you don't, I agree, like what you said, Bruce, if you don't have a business background, some of it is like a foreign language. The business startup, you know, I do a lot of business startup coaching. I have an extensive business background, and, you know, not everybody does, and they come in and, you know, maybe they go to a fabulous school, they get the coaching skills down pat, and they really work hard on that. And they're just set up to be a fabulous, fabulous coach helping people. Oh my gosh, I've met so many incredible coaches helping people in all different areas. Incredible human beings, really talented at the skill of coaching, and really passionate about it. But they struggle with the business side. And you know, I think that would be something that everybody is going to have to deal with. Everybody, nobody, even if you have a business background. Right? Don't you think? When you're, especially if you're starting or shifting or changing, you know, there's so many different cycles in a practice. If you do private practice or any type of coaching in a business, that you have to shift and refocus. So definitely being nimble and having some skills under your belt is super important. So I think definitely it's a great topic for today. I think we could probably talk about it. You know, a lot more, and probably should, to the benefit of our audience, you know, in terms of coaches and maybe potential coaches or students or even people getting coached would benefit from that, right? So,
exactly.
I was thinking, Bruce, maybe, you know, we can talk a little bit about, just to start, you know, maybe that novice coach, that student coach, they've got their first certification. Maybe just start there. But, you know, I think we also need to have a discussion about, you know, as your practice grows, you know, maybe you've been doing it for years, you know, it's going to come up over and over again. Maybe you just need a facelift in terms of your marketing materials. There's so many different avenues. But why don't we start with... if that sounds good to you,
sure.
With somebody just starting out, you know, and maybe we can share our experiences in start in, you know, the years when we were in startup. Or I hate to say years, because I always tell people you have to put an end to startup at some point. You know what I mean? There's got to be an end date to startup. You know, you could be in startup phase forever and you could spend a lot of money and time and never get it off the ground. So there is a, and you know, some people are very organized, perfectionistic, and they want it all done right and perfect and lined up, all the ducks lined up, and but they're not really putting themselves out there, and so they're not getting clients. So what do you think about that, like that new novice coach? What would be your pearls of wisdom and maybe a little of your own experience?
Sure. I would, you know, in addition to going to coaching and really kind of narrowing down, I would think, narrowing down your service lines, okay? Sometimes people offer so many different service lines, it gets confusing, and I think it's confusing to possible consumers. And so I really think that these new coaches really need to kind of pick one or two different specialties and really kind of jump on those. Now, As time,
I would have to say I totally agree with you. Initially,
okay, awesome.
I'm totally on that page. Create a niche if you can. You know, it's not 100% across the board with everybody, but if you get niche-y, you have a specific target audience. It's going to be much easier for you to market and learn to market to your target audience, especially if you don't have a big background in marketing or business or sales or something like that. It's the focus of a niche. Now, Bruce, of course, when I'm saying this, I'm thinking about one of my favorite sayings of yours, and I know you probably know what it is. Are you? Yeah. Is it coming to you?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm asking you to say?
Get in where you fit in.
But I can't say it nearly as good as you because you're from Texas,
right?
Get
in where you fit in, Mr. Cameron.
Get in where you fit in.
Get in where you fit in. You know, you got to get in where you fit. You got to go through to get through to get in where you fit in. Anyway. Almost sounds like a rap.
The first time you did that, I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Oh,
of course,
man,
I was in person. Yeah. I got the full spectrum. I swear to you, I thought I was going to lose my mind. It was so funny.
I stood up on I should have had a flat bill hat, and I was gesticulating with my hands, with the fingers spread.
You should have had a hat on,
right? I was a rapper, boy. I was on point, man, breaking it
you
down.
You were on that day. You certainly were. And because of it, I've never forgot it. But, I mean,
I know.
Really, you tell me what you mean, but when you say get in where you fit in, and then I'm going to give you my spin on it, because I think it's really important for people to hear what we both have to say.
Sure. Okay, so everybody's good at something. Everybody's good at something. And even on the Bruce Cameron website, conscierge.conscriercoach.net, man, I basically have two service lines, and that one is the kind of addiction recovery coaching, and the other is executive coaching. That's it, right? I can do a whole lot more. You know, I'm a licensed therapist, blah, 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 and like a lot of people can go on and on with the different techniques and all this other stuff, but at the end of the coaching day, I'm putting myself out there as an executive coach and a sober recovery coach. Now, inside of that, life coaching is always running around. And
yes, yeah.
So with that CPC credential, everybody's a certified professional coach with that credential. Everybody with that credential theoretically can do life coaching. Now, if somebody chooses to say I do executive coaching, well, they better be able to back it up. I am in the very fortunate position that I can back up the executive piece because I've been blessed with a lot of executive clients here in the last 3 years. So, I mean, I can do that, but I would not have done that had I not had that flow. So at some point, either my website and my social media mirrors my flow, or if I don't have flow yet, if I'm a rookie, then I'm going to go with what I think my flow is, but I'm going to narrow it down. And so, and
get specific.
Also,
get specific.
Right.
It's gonna make your life easier. I mean, it really in the beginning, it does simplify if you get specific.
Right. Now, one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of rookie coaches make the mistake. I gotta have a website. You do at some point, but look, folks, it's 2017. most adults over the age of 30-something have a Facebook page. Right. You can create your own Facebook page for free that is your coaching site and use that as your website for your coaching site. It's totally legitimate.
Absolutely.
And millions upon millions of people use a Facebook page as their commercial website with a call to action on the site. And I don't even have my call to action energized because I'm not using my Facebook website to get business, believe it or not. I don't know why I'm just saying that right now, but I am. I use it because everybody needs to have that, in my opinion. Number two, we had the great Anna Malikian on the show a few weeks back, who is the LinkedIn queen guru of you know, using LinkedIn and how to use the space underneath your sentence and how to use your LinkedIn summary like a sword to drive traffic to your site and interest in your coaching coaching capabilities and skills. That LinkedIn profile is a huge deal. So now you have LinkedIn and a Facebook page that are totally free, and those are both PR9 sites, which means they're highly ranked on Google. And then, you know, if you want to get a Twitter account, have some things with that, and then
right.
link that to that. And if you want to have an Instagram, Cindy, more and more businesses are using Instagram and taking a picture
really
of a sunset.
Yeah, it's really become hot for business. I mean, and, not just, and, it has been. You know,
and
I think
so there's that,
what you're saying
say
about
this.
Facebook and LinkedIn being, you know, like totally free is a big point, because sometimes when people start businesses, you know, they're spending, they're watching the spending in the startup phase. And so I tell people a lot too, a business card is probably the cheapest form of marketing, the easiest form of marketing. You can start coaching with a business card, you know, so you can do one thing at a time. I think what happens for a lot of people is you hear all of these different things, you know, social media, the website, you know, a rack card, brochures, you know, speaker, you know, then they're going to start speaking. So now they need the speaker sheet and it gets to where people are getting overwhelmed and trying to do all of it. And instead of what they need the most right here, right now to get going. And it is a lot to manage. And it's not just a lot to manage in terms of execution, which is why I do startup coaching, because I know it's tough for people. And I love helping people get started and organized and doing those pieces of the puzzle. But it's important that people start with what they're comfortable with. And when you were talking about get in where you fit in, I'm also thinking about just what you're saying. And also, where's your expertise? Where's your education? What have you been doing all along? What are you most passionate about? You know, what lights you up? All those questions that people have to ask themselves when they pick a niche. And it's easier to start with something that you're familiar with and you're good at and you're knowledgeable about or you're educated in, and then layer in from there. But it's the same thing when you're starting to market, when you're starting to look at the business side. What do you already know how to do? What's simple? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't have to do it all right away. You can do, you know, the simple pieces. And this, you know, the simple pieces are, you know, the business card and a website and a, you know, some professional rack card to hand out and some social media. But the thing is, you know, you can do a one-page website too.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, look. All right, and even so, people, these coaches will hire a web developer, and they'll spend. I talked to a poor person, not a poor person, but I feel sorry for them. They spent thousands of dollars, had some shyster do a BS website that was really underperforming. Its search engine optimization was bad. They were churning out content that nobody cared about. You know, it was the biggest colossal waste of time. You know, should have gone with the free websites, such as a Facebook page. Tailor it the way you want it. You can push content out. You can control it. You don't have to be a website guru
designer
to be able to manage your own. Right, designer and manage your own Facebook. It's legit. You can do the same thing with your LinkedIn. You can post on there, and LinkedIn now functions just like a Facebook. And so then if you feel compelled that you want to have a website and do that, and you've had two practice venues to get your website on point and done right the first time. Mm-hmm, so if you are going to hire a web developer, you can tell them, load this, and this is what I need, and be one and done with it. And then that's that. And now you have a kind of an appropriate social media, you know, web presence in addition to your business card. And also
the social media, like, you know, some of what you're saying is start with something maybe people already have a personal Facebook page, and then they just, you know, set up the business page, invite their friends to their business page. But I think sometimes those things are more interactive, you know, where you're actually posting and getting on it. And, you know, all of this takes time. You know, right. and time is such a precious commodity, and it's kind of like you have to pick and choose your battles. You know what I mean? You have to pick. Right. I think it's really difficult if you come at it trying to do it all, because you're really going to have to spend, I would say, you know, the better part of a year if you're going to do it all. I mean, that would be my bet.
And folks, speaking for me, I did it. You know, I transitioned out of a government job into the private sector. And then I built a Facebook page, and then I built the other Facebook page, and I built the LinkedIn page as best as I could, right, to get decent presence. And I went back to them, added as time wore on and my acumen wore on, and I would add and build on it. Then I got a website and then built upon that. And then I got a Twitter, and then I built upon that. Then I got an Instagram, and then I built upon that. And then I got a YouTube channel, which is huge. That's free. And I'd post a little video. Then I built upon that. Now I have YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, all these other things. And I actually paid money for a Psychology Today site. Now that's a whole lot of money. But I do believe now coaches that are certified can advertise, that have master's degrees and up, can advertise on Psychology Today. And you know what? That's a huge thing. So I think that's a good outlet if you have a little bit of money, but that's again a PR9 rated site and your name is getting out there in a good way. But I'm telling you, LinkedIn and Facebook and those other things are good as well. Yesterday I had a discussion with the guy. He has a MailChimp email thing, and it's free, and that thing does email blasts.
Yeah.
And that is huge. And I don't do that. You know, I don't have,
I've done that before. I think it's important to think about, Now, you've seen the way you've approached it is sort of one thing at a time, and you've just layered it in, and now you're doing all of them, or not all of them, because you know there's always so much more out there. Some of my approach is, do the things that are going to give you a presence and a look of professionalism. And while I'm not a big brand myself type of person, I really do believe in professionalism and professional image. And, you know, that's from years in the corporate world and business.
Absolutely.
But it's important that who you are is represented, and it's a clear picture across your marketing efforts, you know, whether it's your website or your card or whatever. I think that's important so that you have that sort of signature look. I also think, you know, sometimes moving slowly is better because it's easier to manage. Like you're saying, you did this and then you did this and then you did that. But also, I think it's important for people to really stop and think and see what resonates with them. So when I work with clients, it's, you know, obviously you can't do everything all the time, every day. People, you know, sometimes when they're starting out as a coach, they may be working full time. They may have other jobs. They may have family. They have other things in their life that require their attention and time besides their startup business. So think about what you enjoy doing. So if you like, everybody has to pick a couple vehicles at least a couple ways to get in front of people. So you put, you know, the skeleton of a business presence in terms of your marketing materials. And maybe that's just a business card to start, you know. But also, you know, who's your target, which we talked about. You know, what are you going to focus on as your specialty? Or maybe it's two, you know, you do this and you do that. I mean, I was a clinical nutritionist and was in business for years before I got into coaching. And now I teach coaching and I'm in love with coaching. But, you know, I started out with applying it to my nutrition practice, you know. And the coaching has actually helped me become, and I've been doing this, you know, I've had a private practice for years. It's just coaching is such an amazing discipline that I think it can improve anything you've already done or know. This is, I really believe it, if you layer it in. Because the skill set is a collaboration and a partnership. And I think it's made me better at my clinical nutrition practice. I think it's definitely improved some of the ways I do things. But I think that people will lean towards, maybe they're a social media type. They love social media. Put your energy there to reach out to people. Maybe you're a networking type of person. You love networking groups, parties, and all that. And you're passing out cards and you're introducing yourself. Maybe you really love to speak. Maybe you like to write. Maybe you love to write a book. Maybe you have... teach. Maybe you have an ability to get in front of people and educate. You know, like pick a couple things that you're good at, that you like to do, that will get you in front of people, and then do them continually. That's kind of my MO, because you can't do it all. I mean, I'm one of those people. Yeah. I've tried to do it all my entire life, and right. You know, I can have it all, I can do it all. But really, when it comes to marketing, that can be a little skewed at times. I mean, that do it all approach kind of falls down when you look at marketing, when you take a marketing perspective.
Right, and you know, our guest last week, you know, the great Luc Benoit, you know, hit man, great website, fabulous. And he had, yeah, but he does a real good job. And, you know, that man, that's a website that for the ages, you know, has videos of him, instructional videos, has different packages, different structuring. And, man, you know, this is a man, obviously, he's on, you know, one of the best in the business and at the top of his craft.
Been doing it a long time.
Yeah, he's been doing it a long time, and it shows. And he just has everything that you – if I was going to do an audit of a coaching website from some, the ICF sent me, I'm just kidding. It's a joke, folks. Anyway, but if I was going to do an audit, you know, I mean, man, this guy has it all. He has, you know, what it is and price points and different packages and different mechanisms by which he works with clients, different techniques, and then a nice bio about himself. I mean, what he has on there far exceeds what Bruce Cameron has on his little site. So, I mean, it's just really good, you know. And so
he's also really good at what he does, too. And I have personal experience with that.
Yeah. I mean,
in practice.
The comprehensive practice. But you know, I'm, you know, but I can tell you, you know, that website grew with him. And your social media and your websites grow with who you are and kind of mirror what you're doing.
Well, you learn as you go. You know what I mean? You definitely learn as you go. And, you know, I think it's really important and I think it's really imperative that people seek help during this cycle instead of trying to do it all themselves and potentially doing it wrong or spending money in the wrong way, is to, you know, reach out to somebody who has experience with it and, you know, even if all you can do is get some advice and some tips or, if you know, but definitely reach out because there, you know, people who have the experience and can help you. And that's why I love the startup coaching. And the other thing I wanted to say that's really important, I believe, and Bruce, you tell me how you feel about it, is very easy to forget to ask for referrals. And I know my business has almost entirely been built on referrals. But it's really easy to, you know, service your clients and forget to ask them if there's anybody, because I know I'm very, very guilty of this. I rarely ask for referrals. They come to me because over time I've been doing this a long time. But I think it's important that we talk a little bit about that, is that, you know, it's okay to ask people that are happy with your work if there's anybody in their circle of family and friends and business acquaintances and, you know, that you could be of service to. Because I'm sure there are. And remembering to ask and actually asking for referrals or actually, you know, having an incentive for referrals, not so bad of an idea. What do you think?
No, I think that's a great idea. I think it's a little bit awkward for our friends that were in positions like me and others. We've had many people on the show that are also licensed therapists as well, right? And that is absolutely taboo.
Oh, is it? Okay, good to know.
You can't have endorsements. You can't be like hawking business from your clients. You're there to serve your client, and that's it. You know, there's this kind of boundary and wall there in terms of professional ethics for counselors, psychologists, social workers, LMHCs, and the like, that they really can't engage their clients like that. Now, as coaches, we can, but as therapists, we can't. So for old hacks like myself that came out of the therapy paradigm, it's like, whoa, you know, I would never ask my client for, you know, you can't even have an endorsement.
So it's harder for you. So has it been difficult for you? And, you know, one of the things I want to say before we get into that is, in therapy, in the traditional therapeutic model, a lot of billing of insurance takes place, okay?
Right.
So a lot of practices are built, and you get on panels, and the clients just come to you. In coaching, that is not happening. There's no bill insurance going on. You are in charge of continually keeping that stream of clients coming. And, you know, coaches coach for, you know, average of 90 days, maybe 90 days to 6 months, but you have to keep your pipeline filled, and you have to be thinking about how you're going to do that.
Actually, Cindy, to your point, you know that I am a coach now for a major airline carrier in the United States, right? And you and I were going to have a meeting with them, and he actually called me back again, and I've got to set up a meeting with the administration.
Now we're doing our to-do list on the radio. Yeah.
That's true. But look, it's this live theater here, and I got to follow up with him, right? Because I worked so hard to get that contract with that airline to work with pilots and flight personnel that needed, coaching for various issues. And I'm just sitting here just resting on laurels. I mean, I have enough work, but I really need to get on my game and call them back and say, hey, what's going on? Can I do a PowerPoint deck? And really kind of do as they would say, the white space growth. You know, I have my foot in the door, and I need to kind of grow that connection. And we got to get you involved with them as well, and kind of build that out. So,
and I think that it's important what you're saying, Bruce. You know, we're talking about the startup, you know, coach, somebody starting a practice.
Right.
But what about those folks
the
out
maintenance.
There? The maintenance who've been in the game for a long time, and you know you get your calendar booked, and I think it's important. You know, maybe this is a dream for early coaches, but you know, there's a cutoff point. I mean, like I have to deal with juggling appointments and it's really important to ask yourself, and I tell people this when I do startup coaching, because I want them thinking about it, is, you know, based on your lifestyle, based on your current professional schedule, how many clients can you actually, regular clients can you see, which is, you know, typically you set hour sessions a week with them. I set hour sessions and I bill by the month, and their commitment is minimally 90 days, and then they roll on. Those regular clients, and then you get people who want to do every other week, maybe they're coming in for spot check coaching because they've seen you in the past, or for me, they're doing nutrition and now they went coaching, or they've been a coaching client who now, so, you know, I get a lot of that. And so there's a time when the calendar books, folks. There's a time when you have to say, how much can I juggle and do a quality job with? And if I want to do a quality job, and coaching requires really staying with your client, you know, and tracking with your client and their progress. And so I don't know if that's I know you're a severe type A. I'm a type A myself. But, you know, it's kind of hard to sometimes, you know, hold the reins in a little bit at times when you get too much going on. But the other problem is just what you said. When you start filling the plate, then the marketing efforts slip. And this is about marketing today. And so what are the things you're going to do continually to get in front of people? And not just that, but what are the little marketing energy spends you're going to continually do to what maybe that's calling clients back. I mean, whatever your tactic is, we spend a lot of time talking about this. Are you doing it on a regular basis? Right?
Exactly. Even I get reminders on Facebook pages I've created for this show and my coaching practice. And then Facebook will be like, hey, it's been a while since your viewers have heard from you. And so Facebook will actually remind you to post something, you know. I think that's Facebook is the analytics are so good, you know, they're just real because they want you to stimulate, you know, content, stimulate viewership, because it's nothing but good for them, because they're placing advertisements on the side panels of people who are looking at our site. So, I mean, of course they want us to be more active. Well, anyway.
Right. And how do you remind yourself regularly to do that? Because I have the same problem. I'm like, oh, I got to make posts today. And, you know, so you got to pick the vehicles of marketing, but then you have to do them regularly. I mean, it's like consistently, regularly.
Right. Now, I have the luxury of, I don't office out of my home. I have an office. So when I'm at the office, I try to honor that. And what I mean by that is if I'm here in the office, I'm doing something, either A, seeing clients, B, you know, paperwork for whatever, and or C, and if I have a cancellation, which happens from time to time, or if I have a spot in the office, by God, I'm going to go in, I'm going to look at email, or I'm going to post something on a social media site. So I'm going to do something with that dead hour that reinvests in maybe into the marketing aspects of the coaching practice, right? Or I'll sit there and I'll think about something that I can do. For instance, I with one of our guests, I flew out to their town, and you know I flew out and I met with the person, and they had an idea, you know, that I helped them with to market, you know, their coaching practice, you know, and so went there, and we had face-to-face meetings with a residential manager, and had those face-to-face meetings, and they said okay, and we explained what coaching was, and kind of broke the ice, and you can't replace that face-to-face stuff. It's huge. And explained to them what coaching was, explained to them how that could benefit their residents. And they said, well, okay, well, that's okay, because we thought that was kind of fruity and weird, but we're okay with that now. So send us something, and they'll send it to the equivalent of the homeowners association, whatever, the quote association. And if they bless and ordain that, then you can do a seminar, and then you're free to retain as many clients from our development as you can get. Right.
Fabulous. There's a process there, right?
And they had a process, but now you're kind of into a situation that could be a pool for coaching clients, and you just had to go up there and had to have the face-to-face meeting and have to be able to articulate your craft and what does that look like?
And then find out the steps.
And, and so, boy, that's something that could provide fruit. Then once you kind of have that one done, you can apply that to other similar venues. You know what I mean?
You can build on a coaching practice. It's sort of like the marketing campaign. And a lot of times what you're doing for one target audience, you know, you're talking more about business coaching, and so it rings very solid for me, you know, doing sales and marketing and business development for years. But you really do have to realize that once you build for one avenue or one target, those resources, that intellectual property, if you will, that work you put in, you're going to be able to duplicate somewhere else. So it's not like wasted effort. You know, it's like the building keeps built, you know, you keep playing on it. You know what I mean? You'll use it again. Right. You'll remember, oh, I did that talk for, you know, this company or this group. And, where's that PowerPoint, or where's that handout I did? Or, you know what I mean? It starts building on itself to where you have sort of this arsenal of resources and tools in your toolbox that you can pull out. But it's important to remember that you got to practice that. It's like you have to put marketing And it's hard, right? It's hard when you get busy to continue to do it. I have my own little terminology I use, my own little private terminology to remind me, and to do those tasks that are going, that white, you said white space growth, just sort of keep the wheels going and fill the pipeline. Fill the pipeline is a pretty standard lingo, right? We got to schedule it in. Folks, it's important as you get going to make sure you're doing it on a regular basis. Yeah. And it's you know, it's going to be work, right?
Right. And it's just kind of self-care and being able to monitor yourself and what's going on. Let's talk about price point for a minute.
That's a subject we don't usually bring up.
Well, I'll lead out on this. So look, one of the things that I do is I obey market forces. You've heard me say this is Bruce Cameron submits to market forces. What does that mean? Basically supply and demand, right? So look, if I'm starting out, or when I started out at a price point that was very comfortable and way lower where I'm at now, okay? Now, as I grew, I had to really up my price point, right? Because now I'm going to get too full at these lower hours. So I jumped up my price point because I had this other goal. As you said, Cindy, I don't want to work more than X hours a week to maintain lifestyle balance, right?
Well, and also I think lifestyle balance is so important. I'm a big balance person. You wouldn't know it if you know me personally, but, you know, some days. But, you know, it's also servicing your clients and in a really present quality way. I think we all have to put that sort of number out, you know, out there. I think it's important. I do.
I mean, I got to the point, Cindy, in my practice that, you know, some spots were high real estate. So if you want to come in on a Monday evening, that was
I love
a higher
that. I know you
rate
do that.
Then the other thing. And then I also have the bullpen that people that can't come in, I always call them in 30 minutes. You want to come in, I'll give you a cut rate, but you know, have people out there in the bullpen. But anyway, so those are creative ways of structuring your time. That there's no lost time, no wasted time. Also, you got to be mindful of your own goals, your own business and personal goals running concurrently. You got to coach yourself in a way, say, wait a minute, I'm only going to work these many hours, so I want to work smarter and not harder. And to be honest with you, you know, and I've given, you know, I'll say something to my fellow government employees. You know, I was a government employee for a quarter of a century, right? And we got paid 26 pay periods, right?
Yep.
You have 26 pay periods in a year. Okay. And so I thought, wow, you know, can you imagine? And this is going to sound like a pipe dream, right? Can you imagine? This is a fantasy, but get ready, right? It is a fantasy to some people and a reality to others. But listen, so $500 an hour. Oh my gosh, who gets that, right? Barely a brain surgeon does. Wait a minute. But $500 an hour for 20 hours a week at 26 pay periods is $500,000 a year. Okay? That's $500,000. So I think, man, you think, wow, that's amazing.
Doing the math. I've spent so many hours doing the math. I know you do the same thing. I used to crunch the numbers, because it can be kind of, it's fun, but it's also necessary. You know, you really do have to think about those things. It's amazing how many people actually don't, you know, initially.
So the person that's, you know, basically charging, I would say, you know, a little over $200 an hour is making right about $250,000, 20 hours a week, you know, full. I mean, staying at a full clip. Now, look, folks, I'm not saying that everybody does that. I'm not saying you want to do that. I'm just saying that these are kind of some benchmark guidelines to kind of say, okay, because there is, I mean, you went to coaching school, you paid money. Many of you out there have spent thousands of dollars on your coaching school, your ICF level 1, 2, 3, 4 tens, your associations, your memberships, your website development, you know, materials, and God knows what you think your time is worth. And that's a huge investment. And at some point, this is a business, and then you need return on your investment. And the way you do that is through your price point and clients.
Yeah, you have to take it serious. You have to put the time and energy into it. And, you know, I know I'm thinking of a friend in coaching who's been successful for years. And I kept telling her, you got to raise your prices. You got to raise your prices, because she had such a full book and a way to give her more time to do other projects that were interesting and intriguing to her. She was going to have to cut down on her client load, you know, and sometimes the raising the price can do that. You know, another thing too, I like what you said about how much people put into their education and the experience and the expertise. I love that you said that, Bruce, because I think so many people, you know, we're just moving along in life, we're gathering credentials and education and master's degrees and work experience, and we don't really monetize that in terms of a value. And I, you know, I had an experience yesterday, and I want to share it because. I was referring somebody I know to a particular coach for a particular expertise, because I don't do everything. I'm not educated, you know, in certain areas, and you know, everybody does different things, right? So I like to refer. Okay, so I was referring her, but she made a decision that she didn't need another coach, and I didn't know what she meant. So I asked for clarification, and I thought maybe she was working with, you know, coaches in different areas of her life, you know, and that one more was going to tip her over. Right. And so I asked her what she meant, and she said, I can't remember exactly what back, but you know, well, everybody's a coach. And then I realized, boom, I need to have a coaching conversation with her, because not everybody's a coach. Yes, we learn from everybody in our life, whether it's our parents, our siblings, our friends, you know, mentors, you know, bosses, you know, we could go on and on. We learn from everybody, but coaching is a profession that is a skill set and a modality and training, and you know what I mean? And so I still believe, Bruce, that not everybody gets it. And you and I started the show for that reason.
Right.
We really believe that a lot of people do not know what coaching is, isn't. And that was just interesting that it just happened. And I said, okay, I need to have a conversation with her so she understands what coaching is. And I'm sure you have some similar experiences in your life, you know, running by somebody what coaching really is in a, kind of a, you know, snapshot way, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's powerful stuff. It's powerful stuff, people. It works.
And it works. And boy, you know, but I'll say this: we've had guests on our show, Cindy, that got dangerously close to talking about techniques that looked almost like therapy techniques. You know what I mean? And while those things are good, right? I mean, hypnosis is a good thing. And it's a good way to access things. And neuro-linguistic programming is a good way to communicate and then clarify communication, right?
Those are tools. They're tools that people
they're
use.
They're great tools. But boy, howdy, you start to zero in on some sort of a pathological area, and now you're doing therapy. And so I think some of the coaches have to be really, really close.
They have to be trained to do those things. They have to be certified and trained. It's not something that the average Joe can just pick up from understanding it and practice it. And so, you know, there's the integrity, right? In terms you know, we can't be something to everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm a schizophrenia coach. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that clinical?
Right.
That's a joke, by the way, folks.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. It's because that requires a diagnosis, which requires you to be minimally
proficient
as a therapist or a psychiatrist.
Right.
And
now,
in coaching schools, you know, as coaches are trained, they are taught these things. So the average person may teach, but they're not a coach. Now, maybe they're a football coach or your basketball coach, but not a professional coach.
Right.
And I think that it's important to point some of those things out as they come up, right? You know, they're.
Now, I could coach schizophrenic families in coping with their mentally ill loved ones' illness and the management of care and la 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 la. Well, that's fine. That's more didactic and coachy.
That's caretaker coaching.
Right. which is appropriate. I'm like, you know, drilled down in there with the schizophrenic, or I'm the bipolar coach. He's like, okay, this person's manic and has right, been right. up for days they, and thinks yeah. of Jesus Christ. What do you say? Anyway, but seriously, that was a little bit over the top. But
no, because that's because you're trained in right. psychology, Bruce, and because you do right. counseling, it's a hot button for you. So, I mean, you know, where there's
there's
a line to be drawn. You know what I mean?
It's
a profession it's coaching, yeah. and it's important that people understand what it is and absolutely what it isn't. Right? I think that's right. important. I'm big on that.
Right. And so, and again, you know, there's a couple people in my coaching class and some of that stuff, man, that their specialty area was just drifting into some specialized stuff. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, sat in the back of the class with one eye open and sat on my hands. But anyway, but seriously, so yeah, I think, you know, I'm glad we're having this discussion today on things that, introductory coaches can do and even intermediate coaches can do. And, you know, Cindy, I mean, we could actually probably should do, I'm sure somebody's doing these kind of follow-up seminars, you know, maybe 6 months after somebody's completed their coaching training. Okay, now that you're a coach, now what? You know what I mean? And have a one-day marketing Jiffy Lube checkup on what they can do and have them do that as an ancillary service. Or I know a lot of coaches like to peer review cases. And we have that in the mental health community where we can peer review each other's work. And that's acceptable. And sometimes these solo operator coaches really can kind of benefit from a coaching group. And I know ICF and other organizations have that available in their local chapters, but I think there are an inordinate amount of operators and coaches out there that could benefit from that continued self-care, you know, once that you're in the business.
Right. And I know we're approaching the end of the hour, and I guess that if there's one thing we can say to people, I think what resonates with me the most is don't complicate, simplify, and ask for help from somebody who knows. If you're struggling in marketing, if you're struggling in the startup phase, if you need a new facelift for your business, if you're taking it in a new direction, you know, get some help. Hire a coach, get some help so that it, two heads are better than one sayings. Two heads are better than one, you know, and it's like, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it. Right. And a lot of people go silo on their own and, you know, maybe that's not always the best approach if it's not your expertise.
Right. And just be yourself too. Don't try to copycat somebody else's successful coaching practice. Be yourself. You know what I mean?
Agree.
Don't try to be somebody else. Be true to yourself.
Be authentic. It's one profession you can be totally authentic. You know, it's like totally show up as who you are and with your experience and your education and your credentials and your expertise and your skill set and totally help the people you want to help and totally be authentic. It's very rewarding, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, And even in California, I still get a little bit of love from people as a knuckle-dragging Texan conservative, red meat,
show me some love, right?
Good God. Yeah, I mean, so. But
show
you know
me
what?
Some love, right?
Yeah, well, they know it. That's what they're, I mean, this is who I am, and we're all different. And I'm not going to waver from that, but I can still be effective, and here's how I can do that. Here's what I have to offer relative to all that. And people are like, okay, you know, and they want to, and, you know, either they'll embrace you or they won't. Look, there's enough work out there for everybody. This is a growing
field. And know your limitations,
field.
Too. If it's not, your, if it's, you know, if you, it, there's no sense, you know, doing an area of coaching or marking yourself in a way that you really don't feel, you know, that you could be of service, you know. So pick the things that you know you're super good at, especially in the beginning.
Exactly. And for the most part, coaches, they help each other and they're not as competitive.
Yeah, I agree.
And
very
catty.
Non-competitive.
So,
very non-competitive.
Yeah, so I like that about
love
the coaching
it, love
industry.
It, love
is just, there's a lot of good stuff there. Well, let's go ahead and wrap her up. I'll kind of lead with my wrap-up stuff. Well, folks, man, thanks for spending time with us. And we have an exciting guest coming in next week. So you'll have to be on pins and needles and and hear about it on our social media. I can be reached at www.conciergecoach.net, and the Twitter is Cameron Coaches, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/conciergecoachesshow. So there we have it for us. And Cindy, how can folks reach you?
People can reach out to me at my website, wisdomfoods, all one word, .com, and reach me also on my phone at 714-943-6206. And if we can be of service, please do reach out to us. Thank you so much. I love the show today, Bruce. It's always fun to spend time with you.
It's a great one. All right. Well, until next week, we'll see you here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a good week, everybody.
Over and out. Thanks.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.